How many of you have your Bibles with you tonight? Let's open them up to, again, we're going into St. Luke's Gospel this evening. Began a series this morning on Christmas, and the message this morning was Christmas begins with belief. Tonight I want to share a message with you that Christmas is receiving the birth of holiness. Christmas is receiving the birth of holiness. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to pick up the reading tonight at verse number 26 and read down through verse 38 tonight, and after you find that, if you would stand for the reverence of God's Word, we'll share the Scriptures together. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I want to reread verse number 35 tonight. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I want us to pray tonight. Father, I pray again tonight, Lord, that as we are now in the Christmas season, Father, as we're now thinking and being a part of Christmas, I pray as we look into your holy word, that we would understand the real and depth and holiness of what Christmas is all about. I pray tonight, Lord, that everyone that came into your house would just allow their hearts to hear you. And Father, that we would understand just how precious Jesus you really are to us tonight. We honor you this night. We praise you. We magnify you. And we lift up your holy name in the name of Jesus. The church says amen. 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 You may be seated tonight. There's a lot of things that can be said at Christmas time. There's a lot of different meanings that people have in their own minds and in their own way of doing Christmas. But when you get into the Scriptures of the living God, then you can understand what is inside the real message of Christmas. Christmas is to be the joyous occasion for us to remember when Jesus Christ was born. Christmas is something that needs to change us year after year, year after year. And the problem that we have in our society today is that it's not that Christmas is not changing us, but the question is the meaning and the real message of Christmas the thing that's changing us, or is it the things of the world that are telling us what Christmas is to be about? Is it about the newest toy? Is it about the newest thing that's out there on the market? Is it about receiving more gifts this year than last year? And there's nothing wrong with exchanging gifts among friends and family. There's nothing wrong with gathering and having mealtimes and getting the family together and enjoying the things that we do in the things around Christmas. But church, I want to remind us what Christmas really is. I want us to know that we need to go back by the Holy Word of God, and we can get in there and visit because the same Holy Spirit was there overshadowing Mary before the birth ever took place. The same Holy Spirit is with us tonight that will take us and remind us what Christmas really means in our hearts and in our soul. And I want us tonight to think about Christmas is receiving the birth of holiness. Things happen at Christmas time. Things are born by the Holy Word of God. And I want us to notice that right away we have Gabriel coming and visiting someone else. This morning he had visited with Zacharias, and tonight he's visiting and he's ministering unto Mary. This is now a young virgin. This is now a young lady that is entrusted and espoused to get ready to be married. Our term today would be someone who's engaged and getting ready to prepare for entering into the marriage. And Jesus is going to come out of this kind of a setting. He isn't going to come off of something that is not holy. The word that's used in Scripture that can represent holiness is virgin. The Virgin Mary was chosen of God because of the holy things in her life, because of the sacredness of who she was, where Jesus was not just saying that she was highly favored just because God wanted someone to be extra special. She was highly favored because she followed after the things of God. She followed after the witness and the hope and the joy of being able to be somebody that Jesus could use. And she was lowly and she was humble. And Jesus began to minister through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we were able to read in the Scriptures and understand that her cousin Elizabeth had already been given a conception, a miraculous conception, where the Holy Spirit had taken a dead womb and opened it up and put new life in it. Christmas is going to do what is impossible for you and I to do. Christmas is going to be something that is a miraculous miracle in the heart of every man who will believe in Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the 6 months. If you went into the book of Genesis, you can understand that man was created on the sixth day. If you go through the Scriptures and you read through the Gospels, you'll also notice that Jesus was hanging on a cross in the sixth hour for the sins of man. If you really want to begin to get into the depth of what's happening in the world, there's one day going to be an Antichrist rise into power. The mark of the beast is going to be something that is initiated into the world. And those numbers of the mark of the beast are 666. And here in Scripture, Jesus is using 6 months. There's a 6 month gap between John being birthed and here comes Jesus 6 months later being conceived in Mary. What am I saying tonight? God has done something for man that man cannot do for himself. God has allowed there to be a space of time. 6 months, if you will, is just a short amount of time, Brother Ron. 6 months is just a short a place in life. But you know, if you and I live to be 100, if some live to be 110, and some go on to live maybe even longer than that, that's a short amount of time compared to eternity. The Bible also points out that that Jesus is going to return and come as a thief in the night. See, there's something about timing. I'm not 100% sure why the 6 months is there, but I believe it has to do with the timing of God and the symbolic meaning of man, and that there's something prophetic about that time space. You know, there's a forerunner. John the Baptist is going to be the forerunner, the carrier of the message to prepare. You know what he said? He said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is where it's at hand." In other words, he said, now, get ready for heaven to come. Get ready to understand that once you repent, the next thing you need to do is just be ready to go, because because the kingdom of heaven is coming upon us and it's visiting us and it's with us now. And now we're on the other side of the cross. And now we're on this other side after Jesus had been born, after Jesus had been raised, after Jesus had been in ministry, after Jesus went to the cross, after Jesus rose from the grave. But you know what? We need to still hear the same message that John preached, because Jesus also preached it. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that term of at hand mean? Any moment it could happen. Be ready. The Bible says, be sober and vigilant and be about and ready. Make opportune time. Take advantage of the sunlight you've got. Take advantage of the days you have left, and understand that what you need to do is prepare your heart to receive Christmas. Prepare your heart to receive. What is Christmas? This morning, Christmas was said that it begins with believing. You have to believe in Christmas. Jesus is Christmas. Christmas is something that was born unto us. But something else about Christmas that we need to receive in this message is we need to receive the birth of holiness. John's birth represent belief. Jesus' birth, for the first time, something was born into the world. Since the fall of man, for the first time, something happened where we began to look and see holiness once again. You see, before the fall of man, before man sinned in the garden, holiness was prevalent. God was there with them in the garden. God had fellowship with man in the garden. God created things beautiful. God gave them dominion. God gave them all the things that they needed to pertain to life and godliness. But man made a choice. Man chose to not walk holy. Man chose to take of something. If you want to think about what happened in the garden, think of it this way. Something was partaken of that was unholy. You know that word today, holiness? Not many want to spend time with it. Not many want to get into the Word of God and understand what it is to be holy, to live holy, to be holy, to want to live holy, to want to walk holy, to stand in holiness, to believe God. But what was Jesus' birth about? Jesus, in his birth, represents holiness. John preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible tells us in the last days there's going to come scoffers. There's going to come these that are walking after their own desires of lusting of the flesh. They're scoffing at the promise that Jesus one day is going to return. They're scoffing and making fun of the promise, saying, where is he? Our fathers are now asleep in the graves, and he's still not yet come. Where is this promise of Jesus coming? You see, there was a promise of him coming into birth, and there was also a promise that you and I can have and hold on to tonight of a promise of his return. Just as sure as he was born into the world, he is going to return back and receive his bride unto himself. He will come again. The promise is still yes, and the scripture tells us that Jesus and the Word and the Lord Jesus is not slack in his promise, but see, he's long-suffering. He's long-suffering that no one should perish, but that all should come into the repentance and acceptance of who he is, so that all can become saved. Jesus wants his family to be holy. He doesn't want mockers in the last day. He doesn't want things to be undone in the last day. But you and I have to get a hold of the message of holiness. We have to understand that these things are of God. We need him. We need him to be holy in our lives. See, there was something that in the scripture they had forgotten about. Because they had desired to live unholy, they had forgotten that there was a time when this world, because of sin and because of the ungodliness and because of the unholiness, there was a time in the days of Noah when God had sent out His word and said, prepare an ark for me and for your family, for this is going to be judgment upon the world. And there became waters upon the face of the earth, and people were not able to be saved because they refused to hear the message. And they had forgotten that Jesus had already shown in life that there is a perishing of those that will not walk holy, and those that will not walk in belief, and those that will not receive the message of Jesus being born in the place of holiness. They'd forgotten about that. The mockers forget about what the Word says. The mockers and the scoffers forget about what the Bible says. They forget that Jesus has already seen these things happen. And He's long-suffering, not wanting to see perish upon people again. But the Scripture there in 2 Peter goes on and tells us that this is a world that's being reserved for fire. And one day, those that reject Him, one day, those that deny Him, one day, those that choose not to live holy lives, one day, those that will not accept the birth of Jesus as a holy thing, those that will not receive this birth of Jesus as a call to holy living, those that will not receive Him as who He really is, there is going to be a day of perishing once again. But God forbid those that would end up there, for now we still have light, for now we still have time, for now while we still have opportunity, let's make a decision to receive Him as our Savior, and let's begin to confess in our spirit tonight, I desire to live holy before God. I want to receive the birth of Jesus holy in my spirit this Christmas season. I want to receive Him as the Emmanuel that says, God with us. I am not alone, but God is with me. I am not facing these things in my life by myself, but God is with me. He's by my side. He's ahead of me before the trouble comes. He's with me after the trouble gets there, and He will take me through when I'm in the midst of any kinds of troubled waters. Jesus is holy. He's called us to holiness. If you have your Bibles tonight, you can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll talk about the call of holiness. Christmas is receiving the birth of holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For ye know what the commandment was gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of what's happening in the Gentile spirit, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. And we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us, listen to this, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. I want to read that scripture again. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. Let me tell you that those that want to have a Grinch kind of a spirit, those that want to have a bah humbug kind of a spirit, if you're saying that because of the secularism of Christmas, I'll agree with you. But if you're saying bah humbug because of Jesus' birth, I won't agree with you. If you're talking about being a Grinch and not getting into the Christmas spirit because you don't want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I won't agree with you, because God has not called us to live a life of unholiness. God has not called us to live a life of unworthy things, but God has called you and I, according to the scriptures that I'm reading to you tonight, that God has called us to be holy and walk in the place of holiness, and know that you and I can do it because Jesus was born so that He would understand and bring to us what it is to be holy. See, He went first. He's the Holy One. He's the Holy Child. He is the sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, Son of the living God. He was not with any sin within him, but yet he died on a cross with no sin, but yet he died for sin. But you and I, we know what sin is. We've known the effects of sin. We've known the problems of sin. But see, the scriptures encourage us that if you want to abound, see, if you want to go places with God, if you want to gain favor, and Mary in scripture, let me remind you, was listed not just having favor with God, but the Bible says highly favored of God. So it tells me in my word, it tells me in the scriptures that she had a desire to live a holy life before Jesus. It does not make sense in our natural minds about the virgin birth. Church, you're not going to get it up here. You're going to have to receive it right here by faith. She was espoused to a man named Joseph. Let me just show you how good God is. Joseph is of the house of David. People often want to know, well, what was Joseph's role? He really wasn't the father of Jesus. But you see, he had a lineage. It wasn't about a business. It wasn't about greatness. It was about the throne of David. And there was a covenant promise that God would always have a king to sit on the throne. There was a promise. See, there's prophecy in knowing that Joseph was of the house of David. Jesus was in line to the throne. The good news about Jesus coming to the throne is the word says that he never loses his power. Once he takes, and as he sits now, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for you and I, he will execute his righteousness upon this earth one day. He will be the judge and ruler of this place, and his reign will last forever and ever. He's a king that will never grow old. He's a king that will never die. He's got a kingdom that shall never be ruined and overpowered and overthrown by any other. Why would I want to live a holy life? Because if you have a holy king, then you become like your king. If you have a holy king, his desire is your best. Holiness has no sin. Holiness has no ill. Holiness has nothing in the spirit to do you wrong. But holiness is saying, I want you to be pure. I want you to be honorable. I want you to be worthy. And see, this is where the virgin birth comes in. This is now a young virgin girl, not even been with a man before. You and I know as adults what it takes to be able to produce a child. But Mary said, hey, Gabriel, I've not even yet been with a man. And she was testifying and saying something very great to the Lord, saying, but yet I'm still holy and chaste, and I'm still a virgin. I'm still got holiness in my vessel. I still am sacred and honorable to the Lord. And there's something about this generation that's rising up today that really doesn't seem to care about the holiness of God, that thinks that we can live like the world and look like the world and talk like the world and still come in and serve a holy God, and we cannot do it. But think about the birth of Jesus. He's a baby. Everybody loves a baby. He's holy. He made the way for holiness to be in our lives. You and I don't have to try to live holy. We have to be in love with a holy God. And we have to be able to let the Holy Spirit teach us how to abound in the life of holiness. What holiness is not, is taking the exterior of who we are and giving us a makeover. We've tried it in the church before. Strip off the ragged clothes of the world. Take away anything that looks worldly There was times when people wouldn't be accepted in church because of the way they looked. That's to our shame, because God's holiness is on the inside. The heart becomes holy. Jesus was born in holiness. Mary had to talk with the angel Gabriel about it. I've not yet been with a man. How can this be? Gabriel said something very profound to her. He began to talk to her about the overshadowing power of the Holy Spirit. This is where holiness is lived. Not mental strength. I want to be righteous. I want to be holy. The Bible tells us that our righteousness, our holiness, is nothing but filthy rags. You can try all you want. But what you have to do is you have to be still and let the Holy Spirit begin to hover over your life and your heart. And as He is hovering, just like He did in Genesis, while the earth was form and dark and void, the Scripture says the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the earth. He was brooding, stirring. What it takes for us to be holy again is to receive Jesus as being a holy child, sacred. I was noticing that something you might want to write down just for a little bit of fun, but there's a lot of truth in it. The correct way to say Merry Christmas is M-A-R-Y, Christmas. Mary and Christmas came together. Mary representing holding on to something sacred. Is there anything sacred in your life? Is there anything worth holding out for in your life? Things that are sacred are things that you won't give up. I want to challenge you tonight to let Christmas be sacred in your house. Don't give it up. Don't give up getting with your family. Don't give up talking about Jesus and the birth. Don't give up if you exchange gifts, even if it's nothing bought, but it's a gift of you in some way. Something you bake, something you make. But what I do want to challenge you is to do it in holiness, purity. We need to set aside some things in our life still today. We work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The world does. But if we can take a lesson from God Himself, He worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. And He called it a Sabbath day rest. And you know what He was doing by the Sabbath day rest? He was saying, I give this day to holiness. I give this day to honor. I give this day as sacred. Nobody's taking this day. Nobody's getting this from me. And I understand that you and I work in a society that doesn't sleep. And I understand that there's a lot of things happening in this world today, but I need to remind you that if there's anything sacred in your heart left to remain holy unto God, don't let the world steal the holy things out of your heart. Don't let the enemy take church from you. Don't let him take your Bible reading time from you. Don't let him take your prayer hour unto the Lord from you. Don't let him take your gifts and your talents that belong to God anyway. But let those things be sacred and remain holy in your life. See, if it's holy, oh, I could go on and preach a little bit. I might be a little offensive to some on this, but let me just go out there anyway. You see, there was a group in the Bible that went out preaching the Word of God, and the Bible says they went out peddling the Word of God. They did it with a motive of profit behind it. They did it with something to make money by. And see, there's something that takes away the holiness of serving God when you put the emphasis on money. Yes, God has set up a tithe and an offering. And yes, God has ordained a place for us to receive gifts and offerings in the church. But church, you and I need to know tonight that we can't promote the money above God and expect God to live with us and remain with us in a spirit of holiness, because holiness is sacred. Holiness is saying what things belong to God belong to Him, whether I make a dollar on it or not, whether those things mean anything to me or not. There's a lot of ministries that are out there in the world that have went away from the church house because there's not enough money to be made in their ministry. I believe that there's going to be a day of reckoning. And I'm not going to guess whether or not they're saved, because I believe there's a lot of them out there saved. But one thing that I believe God will say to them: why did you sell out your holiness? Why did you sell out your sacredness? Keep it in the house of God, but take it to the world. But do it on the platform God gives us to do. If God has opened up the door, bless God with it. But everybody ought to keep things in their life sacred and holy. Man has a way of taking and going to the extreme. I seen something on TV just a little bit last night. They were taking Christmas trees and making extreme things out of them. One man had about a 3-story house. So he went out and found about a 3-story tall tree, taller than his house. And he cut through the floors of the levels of his house. And he put the tree through the whole entire of the house, decorated it from top to bottom. Why? We go to extremes. But how about being extreme in your holiness? How about going to extremes of being sacred unto God? Remembering that He called you to holiness. Remember where I was reading out of 1 Thessalonians? Verse number 7 says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us His Holy Spirit." There's the key. The Holy Spirit was present with Mary on the day that she conceived, miraculously, the seed of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is with us in the church. And because of the Holy Spirit and the relationship that you and I can have with Him, holiness is something that we should preach again. Holiness is something that we should be wanting to live again. Holiness and sacred things are something that we ought to cherish in the house of God once again. See, it says when you despise this message, it's not man that you're rejecting, but you're rejecting Jesus, because Jesus is a holy child. Jesus was born of holiness. Verse 9 says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing." Let me tell you what the scriptures reveal about receiving the birth of Jesus, receiving the message of Christmas being the birth of holiness. Holiness is that place of our life spiritually that will cause us to be in favor with God to the place where we lack nothing. We lack nothing. If you and I are suffering lack in our lives in any area, we need to check the inventory of our spirit and ask God, have we received the message of the birth of Jesus being holy? Are we walking our life out in the holy things of God and keeping ourselves from the unholy and unfilthy and the things of the world? You and I can do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. What has anything out there in the world done for us except get us dirty? What has anything out there in the world done for us except giving us a broken heart? What has anything that the world done for us except give us heartache and trouble? But what about Jesus? I want to get down to some things that happened to show you in Scripture that Jesus was fully divine, came from heaven. It's when Mary and Elizabeth came together. Something miraculous happened. Mary went over to see Elizabeth. Remember, Elizabeth was the one who was first able to conceive a miracle. She was now about 6 months along. It says the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's the scripture for the message tonight. That thing is Jesus. The birth was called holy. We talk about the virgin birth. We talk about Mary. We talk about Jesus being born in a manger, but we need to understand that Jesus was born in holiness. Down around verse 39 it says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, very quickly, into a city of Judea and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Listen what happens. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe that was in her, John, leaped inside her womb. And here's the next thing. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. There is prophecy getting ready to be foretold. And this next thing that was said is true for you and I to hear on and believe also. As being filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 42 says, and she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Jesus was recognized in the womb as being Lord. John was leaping in Elizabeth's womb, and the Holy Spirit began to do a work and get the message out that Jesus was going to become Lord of you and me by salvation and giving us the message that you and I might be set free. And Elizabeth said, wait just a minute. Who am I to have the mother of my Lord come into my house? Who am I to have the Holy Spirit visit with me tonight and get into my spirit and that I might receive salvation into my very life? There was a Holy Ghost meeting. Things changed. Real Christmas will change a family. Real holiness will change a home. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak about Jesus being Lord. Verse 45 says, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Church, we come back to believing. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit can help you walk and live holy? Do you believe that holiness is where the favor of God resides and that in holiness, you and I can lack nothing? God said that through His Word. I want us to come to a close with this tonight. My heart's desire is that Christmas will never be the same for us. Not traditionally by coming to church, not traditionally by the things we do in our houses with our families, but I want us this year to get into the heart of Christmas and say, Jesus, it starts first with me believing, and next it's going to start with me receiving the birth of holiness through Jesus. What can you pray for this Christmas that God will birth on the inside of you holiness? Every one of us can have that gift. How? The same way that Mary was able to conceive without being with a man. It took the Holy Spirit overshadowing. Church, I can preach all night, but until you stand in the place where the Holy Spirit overshadows you, holiness is not going to start. Have you thought about how holy Jesus was on the earth? What holiness is meaning that He stayed separated unto God. He didn't do His own thing. He didn't go His own way. He became submissive. He became obedient. He loved His Father. He loved His Father so much that He would trust Him. I'm ready for the church to love their Heavenly Father so much that they'll come back to the altars and pray, God, birth inside of me holiness. The church ran away from preaching on holiness for a while because we missed the mark in a few places. But God's looking for holiness. God's speaking about cleanliness. I want you to bow your heads with me tonight. This altar is a place that is sacred and holy. I want you to understand tonight that when I ask and plead with you to come to the altar, it's because this place is the one designated sacred and holy place for prayer. The altar represents surrender to God. I don't have a desire for this altar to be full because Pastor asked people to come. But inside my heart, God has shown me that you can see how strong and how effective your church is by the willingness of people desiring to pray around the altars again. We have something in our church on Wednesday nights that we have set a pre-service time before the Bible study to be in praise and prayer together, where we're praying around these altars. I believe that is one of the things that God will honor, and He's helping us to come back to holiness. While you have your heads bowed tonight, I want to ask a couple of questions. If you feel heavy in your spirit, if you feel weighted down, if you feel drugged down, if you feel beat down, what you are experiencing is you're experiencing the uncleanliness of the world on you. What you need is you need a touch and a moving and a hovering of the Holy Spirit over your heart and your spirit. A prayer that would say, God, birth inside of me holiness. But see, before you can go into holiness, there's one other question. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? The only one person that has ever taken sin away from us is Jesus. The only name in which we are able to enter into the kingdom of God by is the name of Jesus. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, while it's Christmas, receive Him. It's the best gift that you could ever receive, salvation. While your heads are bowed, again tonight I want to give a three count. I'm going to count to three. Those that are here tonight that would say, I need Jesus in my heart. I need Him to forgive me of my sins. I need Him to wash me. I want you to raise your hand when I say three. And all we're going to do is pray with you. The raising of your hand is a faith commitment to God. It's stepping out and being identified among the brethren. It's letting you know that change is coming to your life. Church, you don't want to miss heaven. What a wonderful place. You don't want to miss Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. He died for you. He loves you. He cares for you. Let the Holy Spirit, which is that presence of God that just begins to churn the very heart of who we are, listen to Him tonight. So if you're here tonight and you've not received Jesus, I'm going to count to three and I want you to slip up your hand just as high as you can raise it. One. Please don't let anything keep you from receiving Jesus. Remember to keep things sacred and holy. Let this be holy and sacred to you. Two. Three. I want you to slip up your hand if you need Jesus in your life. I want you to slip up your hand if you need Jesus in your life. I'm going to wait because I believe the Holy Spirit is really speaking. God's going to wait. Somebody tonight needs to either come back to Jesus or receive Him for the first time. He loves you. It's Christmas. He's got a gift that will pardon your sins, will cleanse you and make you whole, wash you. Receive Him. Raise your hand. Hold your hand up. Take Jesus tonight. Put Him in your heart. Let Him be with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to make the plea one more time. I'm going to count to three. It's decision time. Jesus or no Jesus? Peace or no peace? Forgiveness or no forgiveness? Loneliness or no loneliness? Brokenness or whole? Holiness or ungodliness? These are our choices. Who's going to help you live a holy life? The Holy Spirit. How are you going to be able to do that? By receiving Jesus. Coming to Him. I'm going to count to three and I want you to put your hand in the air. One. This is the last plea tonight. Two. Don't let nothing stop you. Three. We want to pray. We want to pray. You can put your hands down tonight. Church, I want you to help me pray tonight. There's people that raise their hand tonight. And I don't want to pray just, Lord Jesus, come into their heart. But I want to pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will help them birth inside of them a life of holiness. This is the place where we've missed it. We give our heart to Jesus, but we live our life to ourselves. And we get fallen down and we get bruised and we get hurt. And we run from God. And we blame God. And we ask God why. But when Jesus comes into your heart, He's going to coach you through the Holy Spirit and say, stay living holy. Keep yourself sacred. Live for me. I'll take you step by step. I'll guide you. I'll lead you. He will. Now I want every believer in this church to pray as deep as you know how to pray, that God will take the ones here tonight that raise their hand to receive Jesus as their Lord at Christmas time, that they will also pray and ask the Holy Spirit to birth holy living in their spirit. Help me pray. You that raised your hands, the church can help me pray, but I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I start my life new by believing in your word, by believing in your way, by believing in your forgiveness. Take my sins, cast them in the sea of unforgetfulness, never to remember them again. Wash me right now. Your blood is holy. It has paid the price in full. My sin is gone. My shame is gone. My burden is gone. Lord Jesus, I need your Holy Spirit. I need holiness in my life. Living for you the right way with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit, with the church body, with the preaching of the word, with the calling of what you want me to do. Use me and help me walk holy unto you. Praise the name of Jesus. There could be some tonight that would just say, I need special prayer. I need believers to pray for me. I might be sick in my body and I need someone to pray. I might be going through a battle that I just don't know what to do. But I need believers to pray. Church, it's okay to have your brothers and sisters pray for you. The Bible even says we ought to do it. Pray one for another. So I want to invite you to come be in this altar if you desire any kind of prayer for your life tonight. I want to be one to pray with you. And I believe there's others that will pray and stand with you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't really know how many more Christmases we'll have. You don't know that either. But let's make this one special. And let Jesus be Jesus in our lives. I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, a life of holiness. You showed us in the Word tonight, Father, that in holy living, we lack nothing. Whatever this need is tonight, it begins to be met by receiving the birth of holiness through Jesus. God, your Holy Spirit is the overshadower. It is your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. The last thing that Mary said to Gabriel was, she said, I'll receive this. Receive this tonight. Receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, I thank you tonight. A call to holiness. In service, in love, in faithfulness. You called us in life, Lord Jesus, to finish. Finish the race with holiness. God, I pray for every need that's represented in Sister Bowman's life. Burdens in her spirit. Needs in her body. Needs in finances. But God, as we walk together through the Holy Spirit and holiness, your word has promised, lacking nothing. Tonight, Lord Jesus, I ask the Holy Spirit to overshadow. Overshadow her spirit. Overshadow her life. Overshadow her walk, her testimony, her ministry unto you. I worship you. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. I just sense his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just believe in God. By the stripes of Jesus, healing in these eyes. Lord, you opened up blinded eyes. Father, whatever is causing vision problems, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I speak victory over these eyes. Lord, as they read your holy word, Lord, I speak victory in the name of Jesus over these eyes. By faith, Let us receive this miracle. Let us hear these testimonies that you have restored the vision. In Jesus' name. He is able. He's going to see you through this. I believe. He's a good God. He's a good God. I want to take a minute tonight and ask somebody if the Holy Spirit's laid anything on their heart. Or maybe a testimony before we leave tonight that they would want to share. Testimonies are what strengthens you, but it strengthens somebody else. And I just thought perhaps there might be somebody tonight that would want to share what God's doing in their life. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Could we stand together tonight? Lord, we bring the service to a close, but we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us. Lord, as we drive around town and we see the lights of Christmas, as perhaps in our homes we might have a tree, we might see a gift, God, let us remember the Son of God. Let us remember to believe in faith that Jesus is our Lord. Lord, take us into this next year with a desire to live holy, to shake off the dust and the filth of this world, and to show someone else what it looks like to live for Jesus. Touch each and every visitor and person who's came to our service. Lord, I pray that you send a special blessing on them. I thank you for every family who's with us in the service tonight. We pray for those that are unable to be here. We ask you, Lord, to take us into this next week with your protection and your love upon us. Help us to be trusting you, lean upon you. Allow your peace to be with us in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to thank you for being in God's house tonight. You are dismissed. God bless you.